All right, folks, we are back with another AmeriCorps Connections podcast. I'm so excited. This is a very special day. You might notice there's three people on the screen today, not just one, or not just two. There's four people on the screen, whatever. But for those of you who just came across this podcast and you're already thinking, what the heck am I getting myself into? I'm Nikki Fiacco. I'm an AmeriCorps alum, and you're listening to the AmeriCorps Connections podcast, where every week we get to hear from an alumni and discover their line through national service. Most of the time, it's not a straight line. It's all over the place. So the stories go all in all directions. So this one will be a little bit more targeted because we have some exciting news to share. You know, I love sharing these stories. And the reason that I started this podcast is I wanted to connect with as many AmeriCorps alumni as possible. There's 1.3 million of us who have done service across the country. And actually, I did interview an AmeriCorps alum who's now in Germany. So I can say we're also around the world. So let's all connect and let's start getting things done together post-service year. All right. So I have an announcement, but I'm actually going to hold it until the end because it's going to be a surprise. Not a surprise, but whatever. It's the whole purpose for the podcast. But before we get started, I'm excited to announce that the AmeriCorps Connections podcast has a new production and marketing support team. Yay! This provides me the space to be able to do what I do best, and that is interview and connect with people and bring these conversations to life. So thank you for the team at Do Good, Be Good, which they also provide training for AmeriCorps programs and are staffed by all AmeriCorps alums. And of course, thank you, Dan Medevier from Time or Money Productions, who was the first one who stepped in and helped me get this podcast on all of the podcasting platforms. So thank you so much, Dan. And he is an NCCC alum as well. So we're all just a big family. All right. So let's move on. Today we have it's Team Tool Bank Day today. We have a really special, unique opportunity to chat with the Baltimore Community Tool Bank team, who happen to all be AmeriCorps alums. So we have Noah Smock, who's the executive director and an NCCC alum. He was actually on episode 8, which aired April 1st. So if you want to go back and listen to his whole story, the whole winding story, definitely go back and listen there. And then we have Rachel Thompson, a Tool Bank program manager and an NCCC alum. And we have very special first day back, Marcus Mosley, who just got back from paternity leave for his brand new baby girl. So welcome back. And Marcus is a state and national AmeriCorps alum who I actually had the privilege, he was in the same program that I was in, Volunteer Maryland, and I had the privilege of managing him while he was finishing out his service year. And his service year was, guess what? At the Baltimore Community Tool Bank.
Well,
So believe it, you all guessed it. We're going to be talking a lot about the Baltimore Community Tool Bank and a lot about our AmeriCorps alum service year. So let's get started with a little bit of framing for folks that don't know what the Tool Bank is. Let's start there. What is the Tool Bank? What are all your roles? How do you engage with the different networks? So I'm going to just kick it off to you all.
yeah, I'll take lead on that. I shouldn't mention too, because you have such a big audience tuning in from all over the world, really. But there are tool banks in 8 cities across the U.S., also based in Puerto Rico, New Orleans. But I'll list off the cities real quick, because if you're interested in this model, if you feel like it can serve you, just know it could be close to you, even if you're listening on the West Coast. So we have tool banks in Phoenix, Houston, Chicago, obviously Baltimore. Started in Atlanta. There's still an active tool bank in Atlanta, Richmond, Cincinnati, Charlotte, and Chicago. We do disaster relief services as well with mobile units as a network. And there's one coming online in Magic City, which is Birmingham, Alabama, sometime this year. So now that I've said where we are, let me tell you a little bit about what we are. So it's a really simple concept. We have tools, equipment, and expertise to serve other community-based organizations. And as simple as that is, it's equally powerful. We have hundreds of organizations, over 275 a year, that use tool bank tools for all manner of community projects. We are disruptive and a social justice organization. We are enhancing access to resources in the form of tools and equipment. And it's disruptive because it is our business to disrupt the cycle of community groups paying for what we can share. those community groups. If you've ever worked in either the nonprofit sector, anywhere in the humanitarian sector, you might be familiar with this kind of overcommitted, under-resourced reality. And the tool bank meets our partners at their precise point of need with a physical resource or some knowledge or some connection that we have. So it really is serving the servers. That's what we do.
And the reason why I'm obsessed with the tool bank is because I started using the tool bank when I was an AmeriCorps alum. So I met Noah and Rachel in the park, in the driveway of the tool bank, and I rented wheelbarrows and speakers and shovels and rakes and anything that I needed to do a service project while I was serving as a volunteer coordinator during my alumni, during my AmeriCorps year. And I so much loved the tool bank that I joined the board. So I also support the tool bank in that regard. So I hope folks hear and understand that like this resource can be something that they can tap into if they're trying to do a community project. And they're located all over the country, and the disaster mobile unit is something that's really interesting as well. So Rachel, do you want to talk about, since you're the program manager, do you want to talk about what it looks like to be in the driveway of the tool bank?
Yeah, absolutely. We have over 220 different unique tool types in inventory. And as Noah and Nikki mentioned, anything from tables and chairs to speakers to shovels and wheelbarrows, and a variety of different power tools that can help you with your project. When you think about a day in the life of a tool banker, you know, it's a giant warehouse full of tools. So we're cleaning, sharpening, maintaining those tools. We're leading volunteers in those activities. And then we're listening to our partners for what they need, taking their orders, counting and organizing them so they're all prepared when our members arrive. This is the easiest part of their project. We help them load those tools in the driveway, make sure if they have any questions about the tools, we answer those questions for them, make sure they're very comfortable with what they're getting, and can show them different things and give them tours about what they can do for future projects. So we both work with in-house tools. Sometimes it's just Marcus and I here, or Noah, just individually working on tools, cleaning, sharpening them, or we're, you know, hosting 100 volunteers tightening wheelbarrows. So it can be a huge mix in our day-to-day lives of what we're up to.
You guys also dabble in environmental education. I wouldn't even say dabble. You offer environmental education programs, and you have students that come in and do things like, don't you do like floating, what are they called?
Floating wetlands.
Floating wetlands. Can you talk about like what that looks like?
Yeah, so there's two things. One is that we mitigate our own environmental footprint just because we are citizens in Baltimore, in our space. We have a large warehouse. So we take care of the stormwater that comes off of our roof. But with that, those sites or those features become anchors for education. So we invite in diverse audiences to learn about stormwater management. Those include, this year we have a partnership with the Girl Scouts of Central Maryland. Every other month, they're joining us to learn and do service and earn badges and do all the cool stuff that Girl Scouts do. So it is a responsibility both to mitigate the footprint that we would create, as well as to educate. And the Floating Wetlands Initiative is an extension of that. These are built 4x4 foot structures that mimic natural wetlands. We plant them, and we have partnerships that we plant them with native, I should say, marsh grasses. And we have partnerships with different stewards on the water here in Baltimore, which is really the horseshoe of the Chesapeake Bay where it ends. We have partnerships to put those into the water so that they can create the benefits that a natural wetland would have. That would be good for biohabitat, for marine and avian wildlife, filtering water through the root systems of plants. And with the sturdy enough knot, they are floating throughout their whole entire life, which is usually like 4 to 5 years. And we build those on a rotation. But we do that because we have the tools, the knowledge, and the space, and the partnerships.
You said this with a sturdy enough knot. I feel like that's like an experience that you didn't have a sturdiest knot, and something may have floated away.
I almost went down that rabbit hole. Yeah, we had a couple. This is early on in the initiative, which actually predates my time at the tool bank. But I learned to tie some good sailor's knots, and they are floating over a harsh winter even. So we're good on the pilot for the knot.
yeah, that's great. And the stormwater system is amazing. I mean, how much water do you guys collect a year approximately?
Yeah, so on average annual rainfall in Maryland, which is just over 40 inches of precipitation, it's over 1 million gallons at just our system. So if we hit 40 inches of rain or precipitation in Maryland, it'll be more than 1 million gallons repurposed. And we use some of it to wash our tools as a gray water system. So we're really about reducing, waste in all of its forms.
Yeah, that's awesome. Marcus, tell us what you do at the tool bank.
All right. So at the tool bank, I am the program associate. I am the one that goes around pulling the orders. I am most likely helping the customers in the driveway, loading up and unloading the orders. I also do warehouse maintenance. I work with the volunteers, anything operations related in the warehouse at the tool bank. That's what I do.
You also have a little TikTok action happening, right?
Oh yes, I enjoy making the TikToks. You can follow us at Be More Tool Bank on TikTok. Yes, Be More Tool Bank. That is it.
Love it. And we'll put links in the show notes and everything so everyone can. And just for folks that are watching this, if you're, or no, if you're not watching this, you'll see different backgrounds. The team is still at the tool bank right now. They're all in different rooms. So they were generous enough to shut down for just a little while so we could have this conversation. Anything you
Yeah,
want to add about the tool bank? Go ahead, Noah.
I was just going to say that's why it's so utilitarian, because that's literally the warehouse behind me. Rachel's in front of our dry erase board, and Marcus is in the utility room with some washers and dryers behind him.
That's awesome. Well, one of the things that we do here, or the thing that we do here on the AmeriCorps Connections podcast, is talk about folks' service year, and then the journey of like, what was the call to action? Why did you sign up to do AmeriCorps, and what was your experience? And then what was the reflection back? And how does it kind of a thread through what you're doing now? So I'd love to have Rachel and Marcus share their stories. So we'll and then Noah can reflect on, some of the things that you discovered during your service year. But again, you can listen to the full episode of Noah, episode 8. So Rachel, do you want to start off with like, how the heck did you get sucked into AmeriCorps?
Yeah. So, although I know you kind of talk about people having different zigzag ways, actually, like relatively straightforward AmeriCorps. Like, I was in college, I'd done a summer service program and ended in California. And then within 3 days of that program ending, I was sitting in class and I hated it. I was back in school and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then people on that service trip had been AmeriCorps alums. So I wound up calling them up. One of my good friends on the trip was the head was an AmeriCorps alum, and I was like, Megan, why did you do this? How did you get into it? Like, do you think it's the right fit for me? Like, I am only halfway through my college career. Should I take a gap year? But I really don't want to be in school right now. I can't stay in class. Like, I feel like I was out in the field doing service and just couldn't stand it. So with the encouragement of some friends, I registered for ENCCC, and the next summer I took a gap year. I was an undecided major. I had a minor in art because I wanted to keep taking art classes. I needed to be registered for something. So I left school, went to do ENCCC, and then loved it. At the time, my life was like, this is what I want to do for a career field. So I luckily had time left in school, came back to college. I wound up didn't major in art, but I minored in nonprofit management. So immediately took my focus to this is what I want to do with my career. And so it basically led me directly to the tool bank. So it's kind of like a pretty linear of being like, I had no idea what I was doing, undecided. Couldn't stand school to being like, this is exactly what I want to do, but I love serving others. So that it really geared me toward this career field.
Well, it's such a great opportunity or option to know that you can take a year off. It's like whenever we talk about AmeriCorps, it's like it's not really a gap year because it's a lot of freaking work, right? Like, what were some of the projects that you did with NCCC? Where were you
Yeah.
located?
So I was out of Sacramento, class 19, and we had a wide variety of projects. Our first one, we were on outdoor education center, and we were camp counselors to like a Title I schools coming out and doing a full week of science camp. So we were immediately surrounded by, I was leading a cabin of 30 kids. I came after that project, I actually flew all the way to New York, and we did disaster services in New York and New Jersey briefly for 3 weeks. I wound up flying, we 3 weeks later, we flew back to California, and we did fire mitigation in Southern California. And then one of our projects, we wound up in Oakland with Reading Partners doing office work and helping with their Common Core curriculum. So all of a sudden, we did radical like kids to disaster services to sitting in an office. and doing paperwork. And you know, I think that's the NCCC specifically as a program provides that like exposure to the mass amount of nonprofit work that you can do in the different sectors you can work in. So I really attribute my love to the whole sector for that radical change in what you can do in this field.
It's almost, I mean, I don't know what you do on a day-to-day basis, but I'm kind of familiar. But like your NCCC service year sounds like a day in the life of Rachel at the Tool
Oh
Bank.
yeah, it really does. Like I, you know, in one of our projects ended after the fire mitigation was trail building in Seattle, and I managed their tool equipment there. So like sharpening chainsaws, like I was trained to do forest service work, and so I had a wealth of knowledge in already maintaining tools. It's a little bit different in Seattle, a lot more rain, but.
Yeah. It's funny. So when I'm not like working or doing this, I'm listening to a lot of esoteric, crazy atmosphere, universe sort of stuff. And it's very interesting how the universe drops these little things in front of us. And they're like, you're going to need this skill later. Don't worry, honey. I've got your back, you know? And then later on, you go, wait a minute, like, trained on this.
I'll be honest, I didn't really think I would be, you know, continue a career in taking apart chainsaws. I really didn't think that was going to be what I was like, nonprofits, like fundraising, and I'm going to go to school for this. And this is, you know, what I'm passionate about. I'm like, nope, still taking apart chainsaws. And
Yeah, I
I
need
love
to
it.
be able to sharpen saws. So you went out, you finished your school. Where did you go to
I
school?
went to Towson University.
Oh, Towson.
Here in,
Towson in Baltimore. Yeah, Maryland. That's where my son graduated. Did you go, so after you graduated, did you go straight to the toll bank?
Yes, actually, I was actually working at the tool
Really?
bank before I graduated. I found another service program, the Sondheim Leadership Program, actually through another AmeriCorps alum who I found through my program at Towson University, which was a full-time summer internship in the nonprofit sector. And I got paired with the tool bank. It was the summer, I graduated in the winter, so it was the summer before I had one more semester left. So I was working here for the summer, kind of continuing on, and then graduating while I was here.
Noah, were you there? Did you hire Rachel?
Yeah, we interviewed. I was the sole employee. We interviewed while I was filling an order because it was the only time that worked. And I said, look, we can do it. If you're down with this, you're probably going to be a tool banker for the next 10 years, which is going to be 10 years in June.
Yes, that's
And
so cool.
we were both NCCC Green Six. Specifically, we both did, you know, what we call the Western Region, Green Six. So we were both on the same unit and team, but many years apart.
Couple of years apart, but yeah, but it's really cool. I didn't even know that until the interview, to be honest. I like just to interview people and not read their resume and just see what they're all about. Then I'll read their resume. And I will
That's
mention
interesting.
too for Marcus. So all three of us this year are celebrating 10 years of being in the Tool Bank family. Marcus's path has been a little bit different, but he did start in Volunteer Maryland, you know, also 10 years ago. So it's kind of a cool year for us. 12 years open, but 10 year service anniversaries for all three of us and our cat.
That and Flash, yes, which I have the, I don't know if calendars are still available, but I have my Flash calendar on the, and I think a couple of days ago was Love Your Animal Day or Love Your Cat Day or something like that.
I think it was Love Your Cat Day.
Yeah. Did you, when you were interviewing Noah, did the knowing how to sharpen tools come up at all? I'm just curious if you were like, this is amazing.
I mean, perhaps not that specifically, but I will say immediately understanding what it was to have gone through an entire service year and deal with exactly what Rachel just talked about, which is out in the field one day in an office the next day, you know, dealing with kids. Like that versatility played a role just because I knew what that was. And I knew, particularly at that stage in our life, that we were not, you know, we were probably still in the like proof of concept phase in Baltimore. And just knowing that someone would be able to roll with the punches was a huge qualifying thing. And it was an internship. If for some reason this person didn't work out, it was only going to be a couple months, but obviously it worked out quite well. And then,
Yeah.
you know, Rachel's been full time with us since 2016.
That's awesome. One of the tools that I'm renting more often now with my change of jobs, just for folks to know what kind of equipment's out there, are high top tables for events. And they even come with these fancy tablecloths, and they just look so, everybody was like, these are great tables. I'm like, oh, they got them at the tool bank. It's always advertising. Rachel, do you want to share anything else about your service year? Any reflections or memories of like crazy things or things that made you go, wow, or change of perspective?
I mean, I met my best friend in AmeriCorps. Like, I think, like, and I
Yay.
still keep in contact with a lot of people from my team. And so, like, the camaraderie of Intricacy, specifically, has just continued on throughout my life over the past 12 years. And I continue to meet other alumni. I find out that a lot of people in the sector we work with, especially because I work with a lot of members and their applications, I wind up finding out later that they're also AmeriCorps alumni. So, like, finding this community has been just a blessing.
Maybe we can add that to the database somehow, so we can pull and figure out where all of our we're going to figure out where all the of the alumni are through the tool bank network. Thank you so much, Rachel, for reflecting. And I do hear from the interviews with other NCCCers, like everybody from my team was at my wedding, or I named my baby after somebody from my team or whatever. So it does sound like the NCCC experiences, because you guys are all together for so long. Marcus, your experience was different. You are not an NCCC alum. You are a state and national, and you had a different experience. So let's talk about, if you wouldn't mind, why, what was your call to action? Why did you serve as an AmeriCorps member, and how did you find the opportunity?
Yeah. So I started Volunteer Maryland, my AmeriCorps program, in a transitional time in my life. I was taking a gap year from college. I was helping my mom out with her daycare, and I was also working at Target. Didn't really feel like much was mounting out of that, so I wanted to do something where I was helping people. I wanted to do Peace Corps, but one of the requirements was you need a degree, and I was taking a gap year. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
So you need a degree to, wow, I didn't know that. Okay.
So after that didn't work out, I went to the AmeriCorps website and it had a portal of all of the listings in, I believe it was Maryland, and I specified it down to Baltimore and I had the different programs listed. So I think I applied for in Volunteer Maryland and Reading Partners. And I remember getting the call for the outreach manager at the time saying, okay, we want you to come in and interview. And it was a, of course, very nerve-wracking interview, but it worked out really well.
So with my experience with Volunteer Maryland, I went to the site and I interviewed, and then they're like, okay, and then you have to go back to Baltimore and interview with these other people. And I didn't realize I was applying for AmeriCorps because I applied through the site first and not through the portal. So I was so confused because I was serving in Anne Arundel County, and I was like, why am I going to Baltimore to interview with these people? But whatever, I want the job, so I'll do whatever. My car actually ended up getting towed that day because I missed Suburban, and I was like, oh, I can just park here and yeah, read the signs if you're in Baltimore. So you interview, tell me about like the interview process and like how everything kind of came together with your service here.
Yeah. So the first round of interviews was with the outreach manager at Volunteer Maryland. And then the second and third round were with NOAA at the Tool Bank. That was a very special day for me because the night before, my iPod Classic had gotten stolen. And I went to the Tool Bank the very next morning. I wasn't sure where to park. So I parked somewhere where you could park. And it said, I think there were no parking signs on either side of it. So I just parked in a place where, it was free. And then I walked in, and Noah and I have been friends ever since. We talked about music. I believe we did a quick tour that day. Yeah, I couldn't have asked for a better interview process.
That's awesome. Well, good on you finding parking and not getting towed. That's very, I'm impressed. What was your service year like, Marcus? Like, what were, I don't know, some of the memorable experiences, some of the holy crap. I mean, coming from the same program as you, we have a cohort, so not as close as the NCCCers, but I remember during my service year that I created some relationships with people. And when I was struggling or when I was confused, I was able to go to different people. What was your kind of your path and your experience? And then maybe like, what did you do after that?
Okay. My cohort was also not as close, but we were still really great coworkers and friends during our time. I served in Volunteer Maryland class of 27 and 28. So actually both of my experience during those times were very different. I think I'm still very close with people from Volunteer Maryland class 27 and kind of close with VM class 28. What have I done? What
Do you
was
want
the
me to leave for this part so you can tell the whole truth? about your service here.
Tell me about your relationship with your site
supervisor. My service years, they were awesome. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better time, seriously. I came fast friends with Noah and Rachel, met the cat. I was in the best shape of my life, met the love of my life during that time. So many wonderful memories. I met really wonderful people. I think some of my favorite memories during my service year were the service trips that we did. I think one of my favorites was when we went to Akakik and we did preservation on a house. And I believe one of it was Witch's Brew, and it was like turpentine or something. And then everybody came together to paint all sides of the house. And then another team was working with the animals all out there. And it was just wonderful. So anytime, because we were all in different sites in Maryland, anytime we can come together that way, those are some of my favorite times.
Yeah, I loved doing service project when I was at Volunteer Maryland. It was a nice break, right? Like from what you kind of did on a daily basis. Okay, and so then you finished your service years and then you kind of, you came back to Tool Bank, but then you left for a little while and then you came back.
Oh, yes.
The dark days without the Tool Bank.
I left the Tool Bank in Volunteer Maryland to go take better care of a family that I was starting to make during the time. But I never truly left the Tool Bank. I would always volunteer, come to special events and things of that nature. So from Volunteer Maryland and the Tool Bank, I went to a hospice. Then after that hospice, I worked at a company where I worked with adults with developmental disabilities. That was a great time. And then after that, I worked at a healthcare company that staffed therapists all over the country. And I was the data coordinator for 10,000 employees there. After that, I worked in a school as the secretary, then office manager, then business manager and assistant to the principal. And now I am back at home.
Now you are back at home. Yeah. It's like AmeriCorps. You kind of never really leave the Tool Bank. Mm-hmm. You know, you never really leave AmeriCorps. It's great though, like all the different experiences that you had. And it sounded like there was a kind of a service aspect to all of that. You know, all of the different opportunities that you had. And now you're all back together celebrating 10 years, all of you 10 years. That's so amazing. Anything else that you guys want to reflect? Noah, if you want to reflect a little bit about your service year and some of the standout moments, and then maybe we can talk about the exciting things that are coming up during AmeriCorps week.
Yeah, I mean, really, I know I've shared my story in this format before, but I came to the opportunity as quite by accident. I literally picked up a pencil at a job fair. We got the day off school if we went to a job fair. That's why I went to that job fair. It was a senior in high school. And I didn't have a lot of plans. I grew up in rural Ohio, smart enough, but not a lot of direction. So that became my kind of my cool idea for the year. Why don't I join something where I can travel with people ages 18 to 24 and have all my bills paid and just like see the country? I had never been west of Missouri at the time. So that's kind of how I started. It wasn't this big on fire about serving the community. It wasn't a bad thing at all. But what I think of the through line is, as I did that service and as I got educated on what some of the complexities of service are, including, you know, not descending into communities, having some cultural competency wherever you serve, I think that's kind of a through line to what we do at the Tool Bank, which is to lead with an empathetic approach, to do more listening than talking, and to develop a program that is relevant to those that we intend to serve. And I think that's probably, you know, the three of us, I think, talk about it. We make space for it every day. So it feels like it's just habitual at this point. But I think it's a really important aspect of how a small organization with a big responsibility can continue to get it right. I'm not claiming that we always do, but that we're willing to get it wrong in the interest of getting it right, I think. Mm-hmm. is probably the through line. And that really started for me with an awakening that, you know, there's something that you can bring to bear about your effort, about your time and your intellect in a community setting that can serve other people while still having fun, while still doing all of the things that you do socially. And I think that's been so cool for me to come into a career where I can do that, you know, with most of my waking hours of the week.
Yeah, the bigger message behind the tool banks and especially the Baltimore Community Tool Bank, you're the culture that you all are developing and shaping, and it goes beyond Baltimore, right? Like it goes just beyond. It's just so wonderful to be part of it, and so we come to 2024, March of 2024. I think this podcast is going out the first or second week of March. And so a year ago in February, I tapped Noah on the shoulder at a board meeting and I said, crazy idea. I said, you know, I'm doing this podcast and everybody's talking about connecting. Is there a way that we could do like a national service project across the country where maybe the other tool banks are involved and we can do it during AmeriCorps Alum Week? And Noah didn't even blink an eye. He goes, I think we can make that happen. And now we're looking at, we are in March of 2024 and the AmeriCorps Alum Week is coming up here. When is it? It's the, I had it written down and now I don't know where it is. Oh, the March 10th through the 16th. And lo and behold, we have a project. We have an experience that's going to happen in six tool banks across the country during that week where AmeriCorps alum will be coming together to do service projects. So Noah, if you want to talk about maybe like how I gave you credit in, I think in my last video with Shannon Stober, I said, yeah, you know, Noah and I planned this thing. I go, well, actually Noah made it happen.
It's a partnership.
Thanks.
Well, yeah. I mean, your idea, it was interesting because I was having conversations at the national level at Tool Bank about how do we have a common theme for a service, a window of time, a week, a day, or whatever of service that we can really amplify what we do. So it was so timely that you tapped me on the shoulder in that board meeting. So what we have now is a service day. Well, it's multiple service days throughout the week of AmeriCorps Week. Will be taking place in six different cities, as mentioned, including Baltimore. There's a link that I will make sure that you get and share, Nikki, that you can sign up for any of the cities participating. And I know they are...
I'm going to pull up the website while you're chatting so that folks that are looking or watching can see. And then...
There we go. So it can be in Baltimore, Charlotte, Cincinnati, Houston, Phoenix, or Richmond. So if you are interested in a day of service during AmeriCorps Week, ours, for example, will take place on Saturday the 16th. We're going to do it as a culminating effort for the AmeriCorps Week. And there's us in our AmeriCorps finery. So we, you know, it's going to be a project. It may not be 75 people, but we're probably going to get between 10 and 30 people at the tool bank doing a service project. We might be working in our rain gardens. We'll definitely be working in our warehouse. All the projects across the country are different, but they are a service-oriented project. And we're very intentional about, rather than having some agenda or some script, yes, we'll do service work, but what we really want is people to get together who share at least a service background and see how they want to communicate and stay together and combine, you know, engage with each other. So we'll be following our service project. Ours will be like 1 to 3:30 in the afternoon. And we are lucky at the tool bank. We have three breweries within four blocks. So we're going to one of them afterwards. And if it's a family friendly brewery. So if you're not a drinker, no problem, come socialize. But the whole point is, you know, instead of formalizing some group, why don't we just get together and continue engaging as a network and keeping the ties strong? And I think we best do that through a service-based project. So I'm so excited. This is year one, six cities. I want to be an institution in 5 years with like a sponsor. And if you are interested in sponsorship, contact Nikki. But we, you know, we really think this idea of service alumni coming together to do more service and shout about it, common hashtags, network wide, is something to be excited about and to engage more people over the years to come.
It's such a natural fit between the tool banks as well. You know, the tool banks' mission of serving the communities and being disruptive by sharing tools, and the way that the tool banks serve schools and nonprofit organizations. And it's just like a natural fit. And so many folks, even that are in other tool banks, are AmeriCorps alums. In fact, who's the gentleman at the Tool Bank USA? He does the outreach or development.
Right, and he was the director in Atlanta for a few years as well. His name's Matt Walenciak, and Triple C as well.
So it's just a natural fit, and I'm so pleased to see that this is happening. And beyond even just service, what this is, it's a manifestation of an idea that I heard recently that ideas find you. Like there's ideas out there, and they get into your ear, and you either do it or you don't, but the idea doesn't die. It'll just move on to someone else and go, hey, I have this idea. So, if there's something that you want to try or you want to do and it seems big and weird and crazy, like try it. Tap somebody on the shoulder and just be like, hey, do you think we can make this happen? Because if you don't try, then you're never gonna know. So I'm really excited. That we're also doing a I'm moderating a an interview with four alumni for in partnership with the AmeriCorps Agency, America's Service Commissions, and Service Year Alliance. So that's going to be on Friday, I believe the 15th, I think around 1 o'clock. So if folks want to join that, I think they have 500 seats for the webinar. But again, all of these things are kind of just manifestations because like my big goal was to bring alumni together and it's happening. And I thank you so much, the Toolbank team, for making this alumni project happen and for being as awesome as you are. I think I've spent maybe less than 10 years with you all, but pretty soon it's going to be 10 years and every engagement is so pleasant and wonderful. Anything that anybody wants to reflect about either the Tool Bank or AmeriCorps being an alum or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm super excited to be hosting AmeriCorps alums. Can't wait to show off the tool bank and hope you guys can come out and see what we have to offer.
Love that. Well, I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah, if you and you don't have to be Baltimore based. If you are visiting Baltimore that week and you want to do some service, and you're an alumni, I also say we welcome children 12 years and older with their parents or guardian. We want to be family friendly, and we have volunteer roles for all abilities. We will find something meaningful to do no matter your physical ability, and we are really hoping. So yeah, you can be in DC and sign up. If you want to come for a day of service and just meet local alumni, please come out. There'll be sign-up links shared alongside this podcast.
Marcus, do you want to bring us home with last words?
Last words with Marcus. I, with being Baltimore born and raised, I am really grateful for AmeriCorps and my program to allow me to give back to my city in a meaningful way. I had no idea that it was possible to know about all the good things going on in Baltimore on a daily basis. And lastly, I want to give a huge shout out to Nikki for this
Oh.
platform and for just everything you're doing. You are killing it. You're such a positive force and a force to be reckoned with. So thank you for everything, Nikki. Shout out to you.
Oh, that was so kind. Thank you so much. I'm having a great time. Well, thank you, Team Toolbank, again for making the time. I know you kind of had to shut the doors and like say, okay, we're going to just take a break. And for all of you that are listening, please find a service project near you. If you're in the DC Delmarva area, come on out to the Baltimore Community Toolbank on the 16th, right?
Saturday the 16th.
Saturday the 16th, then sharpen some tools. Maybe we're not going to do that. I don't know. Fold some gloves. All right. And then we'll be back on track for interviews dropping every Friday on AmeriCorps Connections. Thank you so much and see you next week.